I'm joined now by Dr. Niamh Roach from Bat Conservation Ireland. Good afternoon, Niamh. How are you?
How are you, Mark? How's it going? Thanks very much for having me.
You're very welcome. I was kind of looking for an interesting bat song to play just before I brought you on, and some of them are kind of very dark, like Bat Out of Hell and stuff like that. So we got Prince's Bat Dance. It's a bit dancing also.
Yeah,
I thought we'd give the bats a bit of a good vibe to start off with.
I'm sure they'll be delighted as well. and they're listening in.
Excellent. Niamh, you've published this book, Irish Bats in the 24th Century. What's the book all about, and how did it come about?
Yeah, well, it's been published by Bat Conservation Ireland, which is the organisation that I work for. And we've been in existence for just about 10 years or so. And we sort of got together and became an organisation when it sort of became evident that there was actually very little known about Irish bats. So despite the fact that they're a very large sort of section of the Irish terrestrial fauna, there's an awful lot of them in terms of diversity. We have 9 Irish species. There wasn't a whole lot known about how their populations were doing, what their sort of needs were in terms of conservation, exactly where they were all found across the country even. And so we sort of set about organising monitoring schemes. We get funding from the National Parks and Wildlife Service because they're protected species. And we organised monitoring schemes and schemes to survey where they were and the like. And then we wanted to put all this information that we have found since the start of the 21st century about Irish bats into one book so people could consult it and use it for reference.
Straight off, my first question, how do you study them? How do you go out and find them? Because, you know, we all know bats are nocturnal. So is it a difficult process to go out and find the different colonies and count them and get a record of where they are and how many of them there is?
Well, it certainly can be, and you'd want to have a little bit of tolerance for working in the night environment. But you can even find out information during the daytime. You can find out where bats roost. I know that the first job that I did in Ireland was actually a survey for a rare species of bat down in County Limerick, and I did that by literally knocking on the doors of houses that looked like they might be suitable and in the right places and saying, excuse me, would you mind if I look in your attic and see if you've got any bats there? So it was kind of an unusual request. And you'd probably be surprised how many people said, okay.
Yeah.
So you can go into attic spaces, sheds, places that look like they're likely roosts and look around for things like bat droppings, which are very small, but they are there often. And then the other thing you can do is survey them at night when they're in flight because bats make high-pitched squeaking noises called echolocation, which we can't really hear with our ears, but we use a little instrument called a bat detector that listens in on the bats then and converts that sound to something we can hear with our ears. So you can use a bat detector to pick up the sounds that they make at night and then, you know, map their location, say.
Yeah. And you say like there's 9 different species. In general, do we have a large population of bats in Ireland?
Well, I mean, it's a good question. I mean, we've tried to estimate the actual numbers, and you can only kind of do that very, very roughly.
Yeah.
And so for some of the bats, we think that we might have upwards of 1 million, which is quite a good, strong population. And for some of them, the reasonably common ones, it even looks like they might be increasing at the moment.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. I know people sometimes might be afraid of bats and all that, but actually they do huge ecosystem services for us. They eat huge numbers of insects. And in the States, they've actually tried to quantify the importance of bats to agriculture. And they reckon that they save agriculture over $3.7 billion per annum in savings in preventing the need for spraying crops with pesticides. So they do a huge service for us, but we do have some that are quite rare. So we would have one type, the one that I was looking for in County Limerick many years ago, called the lesser horseshoe bat, and that would be upward of sort of 14,000 individuals maybe, and it's only found in the western seaboard counties, so from Mayo down to Cork. Very limited, you know?
Yeah. So there's kind of a... there is a healthy... I was just wondering about, you know, you say America. I mean, are they hardy enough animals that, you know, climactic conditions aren't necessarily a factor in where they roost, whatever? You know, do they need certain conditions, or are they comfortable?
Well, I mean, the bats that we have, you know, obviously they're adapted to our climate, you know, and in actual fact, it looks like at the moment climate change might be a positive influence on our bats, in that certainly with increase in temperatures, you probably get an increase in insects, and as a result, we may see an increase in bat numbers because of more insects available for them to eat. And by the way, I should mention that our bats eat insects.
Yes.
There's none of them here that suck blood or anything like that. I know people would say, oh, they're not vampires. They're not. They're eating insects.
Yeah, it was just... Go on.
Yeah, sorry, go on ahead.
No, you go ahead. Sorry.
About climate, and they're very well adapted to our climate. And, you know, one of their life strategies would be to hibernate in the winter.
Yeah.
Because, of course, they do have to deal with the fact that there's hardly any insects to eat in the winter, so they hibernate to deal with that.
Yeah. You know, as you say, I mean, they do have, bats probably have a bad reputation through no fault of their own. They probably just the creature of choice when Mr. Stoker was writing his book.
Exactly. I mean, he's a lot to answer for,
Bram
Stoker.
Yeah, but I mean, again, with saying that, I mean, there's a lot of probably, people just don't have correct information about bats, where a lot of it's kind of... myth and hearsay. I mean, the one thing about they get stuck in your head and everything else, well, I mean, if you, boards can get stuck in your head if you stand close enough.
Well, you know, I always say, you know, I've got long hair.
Yeah.
And I've been working on bats a long time, and I've been in situations where I've had hundreds of bats flying around me, and none of them has even been vaguely interested in going anywhere near my hair at any stage. So they don't get caught in your hair. Their echolocation is actually really, really fine-tuned, and they can detect really small strands of hair or thread in their way. It's like sort of having a sixth sense. They can tell texture and sizes and distances and everything using sound. So, no, they don't get caught in people's hair. That probably comes from, you know, the way, if you've ever been in a sort of a rural area on a summer's evening, you get a kind of column of insects that they just happen to form over your head.
Yeah.
The bats will fly around and they will eat those insects.
Yeah.
They won't actually get caught.
Well, yeah, they're not actually going for you. They're going for a bit of dinner. Yeah.
Exactly.
Because, you know, as we said, I mean, they do have kind of a bad press, and it's probably just that people don't get information about them. But, I mean... Do in bat conservation in the conservation society, do you run maybe nights out or excursions where people can go and maybe get to see some bats and maybe be a little bit more educated about them and how they live and their habits, etc.?
Yeah. I mean, we run events all through the summer. If anybody ever is interested in going on a bat walk, we usually have them advertised on our events page of our website, which is Bat Conservation Ireland, which is all one word, .org.
Yeah.
So it's batconservationireland.org. So if they just click on the events page. Yeah, I mean, it's great fun. Children absolutely love going on bat walks because it's a chance to be out late and have a torch and just generally be adventurous. So, we get great feedback from people who come on bat walks. And there are often events around Dublin. The county councils often run them. There's also a Dublin Bat Group that run events sometimes in the likes of the Phoenix Park or in Liffey Valley or the like. So, there's events ongoing through the summer, and yes, it is possible definitely to get out and see some of your native wildlife in action.
That's,
and it's like seeing, like, it's better than seeing it on the TV, you know, if you see them in real life.
That's the thing. That's the reason I asked, because I'm thinking to myself, actually, I don't think I've ever seen a bat. Well, maybe I think I've seen them once or twice, but I don't actually know that I have, and it would be interesting to actually see them in the world. I mean, we can all go to the zoo and see them all hanging upside down, which is
and of course those are fruit bats, and they're much bigger than our bats. Our bats are very, very small by comparison.
The ones, the likes of the big bats you'd see in the zoo wouldn't be necessarily native to Ireland.
Oh no, the species of fruit bat that they have in Ireland, I think it's, are in the zoo, I think it's the Rodriguez fruit bat, and it's quite different to our bats.
Yeah.
Our bats, the one that they have in the zoo, it can't echolocate. You know, I was saying about them.
Oh, I understand. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not echolocators, and they've got very big eyes and very good sense of smell. You know, they've got a kind of long muzzle like a fox. Sometimes they're called flying foxes.
Yeah.
And that's because they've got a good sense of smell to sniff out the ripe fruit from the forest canopy. Our bats are way smaller, like a little pipistrelle bat, one of our most common ones. It only weighs about 5 grams, which is about the same as a teaspoon of sugar, and with its wings folded, it will fit inside a small matchbox.
Oh, wow. So, with saying that, they could be flying over your head all the time and you probably wouldn't even notice them.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's the other thing. When their wings are spread out, like they can look bigger, silhouetted against the twilight or whatever. So
yeah.
People can think that they're quite big, but they're not. Yeah. Small little things.
Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely fascinating, I have to be honest with you, because... As we said, they do have a bad reputation through no fault of their own. As you say, I mean, we have a healthy kind of population of them here in the country, and it'd be great if people... I mean, I find it intriguing that you said there that, you know, you knocked on some people's doors and do you mind if we check? I suppose maybe people in rural communities are probably a bit more used to seeing them.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people would have grown up with them, you know, and would have been used to seeing them around their houses. But I mean, I think, you know, it's changing. You know, people, you know, when I was much smaller, I think probably people were kind of more, they sort of, you know, only associated them with sort of evil and nasty things. But, you know, as the message gets out there, and the likes of David Attenborough do really fascinating wildlife programs and show just how interesting these things are, people do become more tolerant. And they are doing a very useful job for us. I mean, people often say to me, well, what use are bats? Because we have this kind of view, I suppose, that if it's not doing something for us, then it must be against us. But in actual fact, they are doing things for us all the time. Every night they go out and they eat these insects that would otherwise, you know, eat our crops or perhaps bite us. And they're doing us favours.
Well, that's it. I mean, as we're well aware now, we're becoming more aware as we kind of evolve as a race, is that each one of these creatures has a place in the food chain, if so it were, or whatever, and they all play a vital role in some part or other in kind of keeping life on this planet the way we know it. So getting back to the book, Niamh, is it out yet, or it's out soon?
Yeah, well, we launched it this weekend.
Yeah.
And actually, we had the very, very lovely Ella McSweeney from Ear to the Ground, who came along and gave a lovely speech and launched it officially for us. We've had a slight problem with our print run, so we're having to get it redone. So it'll be another week and a half or so. We'll have it available online.
Okay.
And there are a few people who are going to stock it for us. Birdwatch Ireland, our colleagues in the...
Excellent.
Another NGO who have a lovely shop selling wildlife products and books and things. Mm. They're going to be stocking it, and there's another Irish Wildlife Trust are going to stock it as well. So it'll be available online, and then we're looking into getting distribution, so it'll be in the shops as well.
It'll be in the shops eventually, but people are interested, they can go online at backconservationireland.org and they can have a look at it there, and they'll get all the information on how to get the book. Well, Niamh, it's been fascinating talking to you. It really is an intriguing subject, and I think I'll certainly keep my eye out for one of those bat walks next summer or when the next one is on.
I'd love to have you on one if you wanted to even come along and do some recording for the station. It'd be great.
That would be very interesting, I'd imagine, and just to get the reactions of people and to kind of gauge how their feelings towards bats, and if they change during the course of an evening out spending some time in the bats environment, you know. That's it. Well, Niamh, listen, thanks very much for talking to us, and we wish you best of luck with the book. And
thanks very much, Mark.
It sounds fascinating. I'll certainly have a look online and have a look at it, because it does sound fascinating. It's one of those subjects that it's probably a lot of people don't think about, but when you actually get into talking about it and thinking about it, it really is intriguing that we have such a huge species of these bats and we don't know a whole hell of a lot about them.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're learning as we go.
That's it. Listen, Niamh, thanks very much for joining us today, and we look forward to talking to you again. Take care.
Thanks, Mark. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. There you go, folks. That's Dr. Niamh Roach from Bat Conservation Ireland.